America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
I don't know what those white people in this country feel. I can only include what they feel from the state of their institutions. Now, this is the evidence. You want me to make an act of faith, risking myself, my wife, my woman, my sister, my children, on some idealism which you assure me exists in America, which I have never seen.
Welcome back to Black History for White People, a podcast where we educate, resource, and challenge white people about black history. I'm Brad, and on today's show are my co-hosts Katina and Garen. And we're also joined once again by Adam Griffin, who is a pastor at Eastside Community Church in East Dallas and has an educational background studying the historical context of racial division in Dallas. Today's topic is Hamilton Park. So we continue our drive in Dallas, and Adam takes us around Hamilton Park, one of Dallas's planned black communities. He shares some history about the neighborhood, and we dive into its origin story. While we were driving, we saw a sign that said 93rd birthday, so we had to stop and ask some questions, and you'll hear from some current residents and the enlightening conversation we had with them, so it'll jump around a little bit, but we just hope you enjoy the discussion.
Okay, so this, you'll look on the left, you see the DART station, which they don't like to put in nice neighborhoods. But here on the right is Hamilton Park, and this is the one entry into Hamilton Park. These houses were brand new in the 50s, and people took a ton of pride in this neighborhood because this was considered like their space. There's still a lot of original owners. We have some members at our church who live here, who've lived here since the mid-50s.
Black members?
Black members, yes, ma'am.
Awesome.
And so this neighborhood is still mostly black. There has been some Hispanic integration in a few white families. But what we're driving up right now is right down the center. But you'll see to our left and right, any road you look down is going to have a curve. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's because this neighborhood, again, like if you look at it from above, it's a labyrinth of circles and ovals. In the middle of it, a school, a few churches, but it's built to be isolated. When it was designed, it was built to say, this is where we'll put them. And they got some say in the design, the residents did, and there's still a ton of pride in this neighborhood for the most part. I mean, obviously it's not everybody, but it is sad to see that in the last almost 75 years now, there hasn't been a lot of investment in this community from the city perspective.
Right.
It's still houses that you can tell were brand new 75 years ago, but yeah. Not much has changed. You're gonna come up here to a stop sign, let's take a left.
Wow.
On the right here, when we turn left, is going to be the school. This was the Highland Park School that I mentioned earlier. Now it's a magnet school, a Hamilton Park Pace Setter. So it's a very racially diverse school with a really cool mission, but it just did not have the city investment you would have hoped for.
Well, it's crazy. Places like Booker T. Washington, my friend Terrence Hobdy, is over the music program, and before that it was Fred Sanders. I'm a musician, so
yeah.
These are all amazing jazz musicians. Terrence Hobdy graduated from UNT, and he went to what's y'all's SBC Theological Seminary
Southern?
In Fort Worth. Yeah.
Oh, Southwestern?
Yeah, he taught there, and so he just recently took this position at Booker T. And it's amazing how white students are trying to flood into that school because Booker T is famous because of not only Erykah Badu, but so many artists who graduated from there, Grammy Award winning, just all kinds of creatives, not even just music. But they're flooding back into these schools, but they're not, the cities are not investing still in the neighborhood of these schools.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, that's insane. So you want to take advantage of black excellence and exploit black excellence, but you don't want to develop it. So when we have to work so hard to create our own table, then you come and want to partake. but you don't want to invest. You're still just taking, you know.
It's still exploitation.
It's still
another
very
name,
much.
Right?
Yeah. And appropriation and gentrification in a sense. So, yeah.
So our city councilman now does invest a ton of time and a ton of money in this neighborhood. And part of the reason is because it was neglected for so long.
Yeah.
And so he's done, I believe, a really good job here. And we just passed the Willie B. Johnson Rec Center. They're investing a lot in trying to beef that up. The Willie B. Johnson Rec Center is named after Willie B. Johnson, who was a woman who was the original homeowner here. And she had to go down. She's famous here in this neighborhood because she would go downtown every day until they would change things here. She was relentless. Hmm. The one entry here, Schroeder, which was the one road in we saw was a stoplight. When they first built this neighborhood, it was not a stoplight. And so for them to get in and out of this neighborhood or even to walk across the street, she said they would sometimes have to wait 10 or 15 minutes to get in and out of this neighborhood, which was just untenable for people trying to get to work or trying to just leave. And so she had to go down there every day and just battle for them to get a stoplight. She petitioned at meetings. She would go in person. And so they named the rec center after her in honor of the work that she did as kind of a matriarch of this community.
So what are you said they're doing a lot of work. What are some of the things that they're doing?
Well, this rec center, so a lot of rec centers in a lot of communities that don't have a lot of community pride, they just kind of like have some people that want to work out there. Unlike that, in Hamilton Park, that really has a community feel, that is where the original homeowners gather. That's where they get together to play cards, play dominoes, and chat.
Yeah.
But the property was built, you know, 50, 60 years ago and never improved, but it was still the center of their community. So now they're getting an overhaul of that, as well as now I think a covered basketball basketball court, which you see there's a basketball court up here on our right that's kind of exposed to the sun, which is not bad, but they're investing in, hey, the kids here play a lot of basketball. Let's give them a better space where they can play more year-round without cooking. But we can go ahead, Brad.
What are they doing to assist with the houses?
That's a good question. I don't know that there's any city help for that. There has been several times where somebody has come here and tried to buy the entire neighborhood wholesale because of its position at 635 and 75. If you look around the neighborhood, you're going to see parking garages, sky rises, because we're at what's called the High Five. It's the biggest highway conjunction in Dallas. And so the property would be worth a ton to somebody who wanted to build high rises or somebody who wanted to build retail. But at this point, still, the neighborhood has held strong and said that we're not interested in selling and leaving.
Mm. How many homes are here?
You know, I don't know. If the listeners are interested, there's a history book just about this neighborhood called Hamilton Park, A Planned Black Neighborhood in Dallas. And it walks through at least originally how many people lived here, but I couldn't tell you now how many homes there are. It's one of only two neighborhoods in Dallas that are part of Richardson School District. So most of Dallas is in Dallas ISD, but Lake Highlands and Hamilton Park are Richardson ISD. So they're attached to a suburban school district, but have Dallas city government. So sometimes that can make it a little bit difficult for councilmen and other people too to make a difference, because you're battling two different cities' authority on things.
Mm.
But there are really beautiful stories of when this first opened, and when this was mostly like middle class African American families, just the true pride they took in, like, we're all mowing our lawns together, our families are hanging out together. This is ours.
Yeah.
And so it does have like a beautiful pride story to it as well.
Yeah.
This is literally, when people say a ghetto, this is what this is. And on July 4th, I don't know if you guys saw the news on July 4th of this last year, there was a gang shooting in this neighborhood in which three people were killed, and the three teenagers who committed the crimes are now in jail. Took them a couple weeks to catch them, but they fired over 100 bullets, and those teenagers are now in prison. And that is not—it's not common to have a ton of violence in here. It's not a crazy violent neighborhood, although it does have crime. Like any neighborhood in a city is going to have crime.
Right.
It was a very sad story of gang violence you rarely hear about.
And just because our listeners aren't here to see the neighborhood, just to kind of describe it. You can see a lot of care in a lot of the homes, a lot of maintenance of the yards. A lot of the houses you can see have been updated. They're small houses by modern standards.
The
houses
are baby town.
Yeah,
houses.
Yeah, houses. I think back in those days, just in general, homes were built smaller, the square footage that we think of as normal now has just grown over time. So in the day they were built, maybe they weren't as small as we would see them now. But you can see a lot of that pride in the neighborhood that still kind of comes through in the maintenance a lot of the homes.
And here you can see the proximity to the freeway, obviously. To the left is where they did all the cement mixing for the building of the High Five, which is these very high crossover highways. And now that that's all done, there's just this big pile of rubble that sat here for a very long time. So this is the north end, the back end of it. Now you can get out onto a freeway here, but...
Yeah, come up there,
dude. I'm gonna play it safe.
Is it?
These are mine. The guys that are.
Is your birthday?
Yes.
Happy birthday. Can I give you a hug?
You know what? The Lord has been good to me. No medication, or I'll take it fine.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
A blessing.
So, this is her son, her baby boy.
Yeah, baby boy.
Maybe and would you tell us
maybe
your name?
Randy.
Yeah, come on in if you don't mind us talking to you. You mind talking to us?
Not really.
Just giving us a little bit. You were talking about this is her uncle.
Yes.
And what's your name one more time?
Rosie Ray.
Miss Rosie Ray. Mm-hmm. So he was the original.
Yeah, James Allen. Yeah.
Okay.
That was my mama's brother.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he, how did he end up? Well, we know the story of how he ended
Park.
Up here. Yes, ma'am.
You know what?
I think James. Came from Arlington, didn't they? Didn't they all?
I don't know, but he ended up from, my daughter make a tell you more. Well, see, you know, I forget a lot.
Yeah.
But Randy Allen was James, that was his daddy and mama. Mm-hmm. And so that's the only thing I could tell you. So, you know, somebody would know more than, my daughter, she'd be in a record. Maybe okay. She could tell you something, too.
But you've lived here all your life?
No.
Or?
No, I've been here about 20 years.
About 20 years.
You've been over 40 years, man. About 35.
Well, I've been in Dallas about that. But this, after Uncle James, my uncle, I take care of him.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You so, came to take care of him?
Yes. Oh, yes,
okay.
That's why
okay.
I end up here.
Yes.
So after he lost his wife, so anyway, I come in and take care of him.
Okay.
And so I end up, you know, I done a lot of work to the place.
I see.
Yeah, I put
it's well kept,
put siding and put windows in.
Yes,
and,
ma'am.
Are those banana trees?
Yes.
Yeah.
She changes every so
often. Nice. So you got a green thumb.
I wish I could.
Somebody's hipping her, though. She don't want to admit that.
Oh, okay. Somebody.
No, so she nice. Does it all.
Yeah, I leave
it. She still drives.
You still driving,
yeah.
Miss?
Go across town to church. Go through downtown.
What church y'all go to?
Bernal Baptist Church in Oak Cliff.
Amen.
Oak Cliff.
Oak Cliff.
All right.
Yeah. Well, we didn't want to take up a lot of y'all time. We
but
just,
y'all, I'm just stopping. You
yeah.
Know.
We're gonna try to
yeah.
Have a parade at 1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock.
Yeah. Okay.
Parade is gonna be. This one. Is awesome. Just a blessing to see. 93 years. When you see a black woman.
So nice to meet you. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Sorry
thanks.
To interrupt, Patina. What were you saying?
No.
That's my son. That's my baby.
Son.
Oh,
awesome.
That's my baby boy.
Yes,
baby
indeed.
Boy.
He's, oh, you're a mother of six.
Three girls, and three boys.
That's amazing. You don't, you're a black woman, 93 years old. You've seen a lot. You've
yes,
experienced
I have.
A lot.
I have. Definitely.
And
have.
You're here.
That's what I was telling everybody. What's happening now. I said, you know what? The Bible speaks of all of this.
Yes, ma'am.
We're living in the last day, believe it or not. It's too much stuff going on.
Yes, ma'am.
And people so evil.
Yes.
And it just hurts my little heart. Just look at stuff on TV, you know.
Yes.
I'm telling what I can.
It's okay. It's okay, mother. It's okay. You have a right to cry your tears.
Mm-hmm. I just see the things going on and just hurts my little heart.
Yes, ma'am.
And I guess I shouldn't even look at the news.
Yeah.
But
no.
You know, he wants to know what's going on. You really do.
Yes, ma'am.
But like I said, it's praying time, baby.
Yes, ma'am. It is.
So we need to get our heart right because it is time now. The Bible speaks of this.
Yes, ma'am. Did you expect to go
no
where you, when you were born, what year were you born?
1928.
from 1928, you lived through segregation, redlining, all the things.
Well, I
and then civil rights movement.
That's right. That's
then
right.
Then next, and then now, here we are.
Yeah, I could tell you a story about my mother. We lived on this farm, you know, and this white guy. Well, anyway, he tried to run over my mom with a horse. Yeah. And my daddy, he used to work for, oh gosh, I was thinking, man, but he used to drive a truck. Mm-hmm. But he would let us have daddy have the truck. We'd go, you know, we didn't have no car.
Yes, ma'am.
We'd go on the weekend, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so much hatred was going on among the white.
Yes.
And there's one white man, I never will forget him. He saved my dad alive.
Mm.
He went to go through a gate. They locked the gate and let him in. They wrapped a chain around him.
Mm.
Started beating this one white man. I never will forget him, Mr. Cook. He told him with a shotgun, he said, excuse his expression, let my nigga alone, kill him.
Oh my gosh.
Girl, I tell you,
I've seen
a loss.
Yeah.
And after that, see, my daddy used to work on the farm.
Yeah.
So after that, we all got sick. We got in some pastoring. We were, you know, like three of us. And so my brother, he liked to die.
Mm.
After that, we didn't have nothing but white people in our house. I mean, they come together.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a lot.
Yeah. My grandfather was a great farmer back then.
Oh yeah, he farmed.
He had about 20 something kids.
Wow. Wow.
You're the oldest of 20? Yeah.
You're the oldest of 20.
My brother, he passed away.
It was from somebody else.
Somebody else.
Yeah.
But he was a half, my half brother.
Yeah.
Three other families.
Yeah. And so he passed away.
17 out of this
one.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
And so, like I said,
wow.
I've seen a lot.
Yeah. So are you the family historian?
No.
he don't know nothing.
Because you know
you're talking about old folks now.
Yeah. But you know how it's always one, like all the other kids are just doing their other thing. But there's always one child that knows everything.
My sister, Robbie, she'll be in the wrestling. My daughter.
Yeah.
She keeps up with everything.
And grandmother was 103.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Let's go. She walked around with Cain. Don't think Cain was walking with her. That's what was holding her. That was her man she called.
Listen. Well,
I got the Cain now.
You still have it.
I still have a Cain.
Well, you look beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I'm going to get your address, and I'm going to send you a birthday gift.
Okay, well.
Yes, indeed. So I'm going to mail y'all. Because we're not just going to stop and interrupt your birthday and not, you know.
Well,
bring you a present.
My daughter be here directly. I wish she could come on while y'all could meet her.
I wish we could, too.
Her mother used to be wrestling with the guys trying to take it. She would whoop them all.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, she would whoop them all. She was a big Indian-style woman.
Yes.
And they would try to corner her, and she would. Grandma was telling the story. She was a little kid, so she was talking about how she was doing it.
Let me tell y'all this. Back in the old days, you know, they lived on this farm, and this white guy, he was made a pass out of it, you know. And so she told him that she'd meet him. She dressed her brother up.
That's awesome.
Woo! I love it.
Like a woman.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Oh, gosh.
And he met him there, huh?
Oh, yes.
That's so funny.
Did he throw hands?
She sent him back to the house buck naked. Girl, I'm telling you.
I love it.
That's old stuff. You know, back in the days, you know, things happened back in the day. But
that was awful. Yeah.
I know.
Oh, you know. And look, they say black don't crack.
Hey, well, you know, that's it right there, because you look amazing. You're beautiful.
I was my daddy's best fly hand. I tried.
Listen.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I used to.
Working hard.
She's the oldest.
Did you get caught in all of that?
That makes sense, yeah.
My parents did, too.
Did I?
Yeah.
What you talking about?
Yes, indeed.
Most time I kept the weights, you know, because we had a big farm and people, you know, come in.
You know what I mean by fly hand behind a mule.
Yeah. Oh, we not. Oh, I know.
That's some hard work.
Hard labor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? We're not going to, well, I guess we'll say hello.
Uncle James, that's her brother.
Really?
Yeah, he's staying in Joppa.
Okay.
Sure.
And Joppa is a historical place, too.
That's down by Bonton, where I was telling you guys about.
Really?
Yeah, it was that's
where
freed, well, when the slaves came and they held.
They helped him. We were talking about that.
Yeah. He's been over there since, I don't know. Now, you're talking about someone that's old. He'll tell you some dirty stuff.
He's got the history, huh?
Let me hug. He'll tell you some dirty stuff.
Okay. We can edit that out.
These are a couple of historians and stuff.
Hey there.
Sir, how are you doing?
How you doing?
Tell them that you're from Joppa. You've been there since how long?
50 years.
50 years in Joppa.
My wife crossed the street there while I stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, back in 1963.
Yeah.
I got my wife there. Yeah. Still there.
Mr. James, right?
Jemison.
Mr. Jemison.
Yeah.
And how old are you, sir?
87 years old.
Wow.
87 years
old. My name is Katina, by the way. This is Garen. This is Adam.
I wouldn't shake his hand.
He's a
woman's man.
You want to shake my hand? Look, listen in now.
Watch
yourself. Watch yourself.
He's a player.
Listen. Look, that's all right.
Used to be. I ain't no more.
Right. He said he used to be.
Yeah, we all called him playing back then.
Listen. But we're doing a podcast, and we're doing some episodes on Dallas.
Hey.
Okay.
And we were doing just a tour of Hampton Park and drove by, saw Miss Rosie's son here, and we saw the 93rd birthday, so we really got excited, you know.
Can you believe she's that old?
Not at all. I mean.
Drive, too.
I heard she drives. She looks beautiful.
Tell them the story about his mama used to do that thing on when he did that old man.
Well, she didn't like that, but she always was jumping on people, too.
She used to beat people up.
Yeah, I was. White boy, black boy.
She whoop him.
Who?
Yeah.
And me, always get. We had one guy, white guy, you know, back in there when you was like right to about four or five bicycles, a mayor box together.
Yeah.
White boy lived right down the corner. He could always come up the bridge leg rolling, all walking. She didn't like us looking at all the boxes. Come on. When I got some thumb, put it on the side. Who's coming up down that bed? He ain't coming down the street. I run behind the house, hiding, peeping out.
Oh, my God.
She's standing in the door there. Boy, he stepped on him. She just laughed.
She got it. Hi there, how you doing?
Yeah.
I'm Katina, and this is Garen and Adam.
I'm Adam.
We have a podcast, and we drove by and saw the sign here, 93, and we're doing a segment. We talked about Black history.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing a segment on Dallas, this specific area of Dallas, and we were driving through Hamilton Park.
Okay. There's one older than me in the family. We've got another one older.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm next.
That's my sister.
Yeah, this is your sister. Okay. Yeah, and so we just stopped and wanted to say happy birthday. I know that she probably is just a wealth of history and information and just...
Yeah.
And it's just been a joy standing here and just chatting with her and laughing. And to be celebrating 93 years is just amazing. If there's anything, because we're not going to hold y'all, we know you want to celebrate Mother, which is awesome. But just any words you have about the history of, you know, because they say you're the one that knows.
I'm 68.
What?
Take off your shades, please.
Oh, my gosh. No, you ain't. I thought you were my age. I'm 48. Oh, my God. You are
amazing. How old am I? Wait a minute.
You're gorgeous. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. Your skin is like butter. Oh, my God. I'm just shocked. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, let me get it together. Yeah, you are beautiful.
Thank
I know, compose myself.
Yeah.
Compose myself.
Well, thank you.
Still
yes.
How are you? Yeah.
No.
Yeah. The only history that I have is that my father was a World War II veteran.
Oh, okay.
And he fought in Normandy and all of those places, but he never did get any recognition for it. And I had to get his medals and everything. About 20 years after his death, they finally sent me everything. It took a whole lot
of work.
And he told me a lot of the history, that the things that they endure fighting over there as a black man, once they captured the enemy, that they would have to sit at the back of the bus, and the Germans would sit up in the front with the captains and talking and everything, and how
the Nazis.
Yes, ma'am. And how they would it was like in France, all of that, you know, they was over there fighting with them. And when they came back home, which we were raised in East Texas in a small rural area, and it was like a lot of KKK and all like that were breathing down there. So when he did get back, he couldn't wear his uniform.
Mm.
Wow.
And some of his friends that wore their uniform, they were made them take them off, and they had to walk in the back home naked and everything. That's how they were treated, you know, after doing all
that. We talked about that. Everything you said, mm-hmm. We've talked about through different episodes about how World War, how veterans, black veterans were treated like garbage. Mm-hmm. They couldn't even buy homes. They couldn't, you know.
They didn't do anything for them. And so, you know, it was just really a sad thing because, like I said, after he died, I was looking at his death certificate and saw all these medals that he had received. And I'm like, we never saw any of those. And so it took me about 2 years before I could get everything back. And then it was before President Obama got out of office, and he sent me a letter and everything thanking for his service. So.
Wow.
And that was all in some of the things that I endured as going to school, how we had to endure things as, you know, black students, how they treated us when we first integrated in. And when I was a senior, we all had froze, afros.
Oh, yes.
You know anything about that book?
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about
it. Yeah.
And so when it was time for us to graduate, they gave the black girls letters, and they told us that we had to straighten our hair before we could graduate. And so I said, y'all, we can't do this. So I asked the white girls, I said, did y'all put it in front of yours, please. And I was like, did you guys get any kind of letter saying that before y'all graduate, y'all had to do anything? It was like, nah, we didn't get anything. So I came home, told my mom and my dad, you know, because I know how they were about, you know, and they was like, girl, like, do what you do, but you better graduate. So I got with all the, you know, the black girls. We had the froze, you know, and I was like, y'all, we can't. Why we got to graduate? We earned. See, back then, we had to earn 18 points.
Okay.
And I said, we got all our points. We did everything. So what is the problem? And our parents are paying for the pictures.
Come on.
So when it was time to graduate, we all was in the cafeteria. I mean, time to take our pictures. We were all in the cafeteria, and I walk in. I'm the only one with the fro. Mm-hmm. Everybody else said, press the hair. Mm-hmm. And then, so the principal, he got in front of me. I thought the photographer was evidently from up north or something, because he was really rich. He said, because when I walked up there, they called Jones. That was my maiden name then. Tell him to park in front of his, Randy, park in front of the truck, please. And so, anyway, and he walked in front of me when I was coming up, because I was on my head, because he was watching me all while. When I first walked in, he watched every move I made. So when they said, Joan, I came up there, and he stepped in front of me. He said, where do you think you're going, Joan? This is the principal. I said, I'm going to take my picture. He said, you ain't taking no picture because you spoke me. I said, are you paying for this picture? He said, no, but you know. And then the photographer said, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And Mr. Thomas said, we told the color girls.
Woo!
Color girls that they need to straighten their hair and before they take the picture. He was like, come on, baby. And I would upstairs. He said, you don't have to put on this hat, so just put your hands right here, and I got a picture there, and just take your picture. And after we got out, after it was over with, he got Mr. Thomas County from telling me, you're not graduating. So I told my dad about it. He wasn't pleased with it. So he took me to the graduation with his shotgun and everything.
Woo! Oh, wow.
So did you graduate?
I did.
All right then.
And when Mr. Thompson saw him and saw my dad, he was like,
let her through.
So yeah, we had to go through a whole lot.
And wow. We talked about some of the school, everything you're saying, we talked about a little bit on the episode or during the tour that we're doing with Adam today, because he lives here. And he lives in the neighborhood.
Just down in Abrams and Forest, right by the Walmart.
And so he talked about, you know, all the things. And here, like, with our podcast is called Black History for White People, but we speak freely.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, you ain't gotta, like, they gonna get what they gonna get, because it's our history, and they need to know it the way we see it and the way we tell it.
That's not the it. Way, the way we've lived it.
The way we experience.
The way that we are experiencing it.
See, that's what I had to tell them.
You don't know. Like we know.
I'm black. I've been black all my life.
All your life.
How are you going to tell me if you hadn't been there and lived and been through what I've been through?
Oh, my God.
And stuff. You know, I don't understand.
Yeah,
I can't say they're close-minded. They don't see a individual, a human being. All they see is a black person.
Yeah.
Black person.
Yeah, that's right.
And stuff. And, you know, and there's so much going on. And whatever happened out there on the street, they come back, and all my co-workers, they huddle up together. They talking about the issue and stuff. Black Lives Matter. Well, what about the white? Oh. I said, baby, you don't have to worry about that.
Because y'all,
we know
your
you're missing
matter.
The point.
Exactly.
Black lives matter. I said, have you ever grew up black, had kids to spit on you, call you in, and stuff? Walk in the
and
store,
treat you like
folks,
your mouth, what life didn't matter? Yeah.
Treat you like you're black.
Right.
They don't see a person. I don't care what you do to them, all they see is a black person. And stuff. I said, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. We know all lives matter. That's what we're trying to. We matter too. We know y'all matter.
Absolutely.
And stuff. And I said, how do y'all put your heads together and talk about what's going on out there in the street, black issue? And here I am black and you leave me out.
Right.
And then when I walk up, you like you got on your face. I said, because you're saying something you don't want me to hear, and then I know how you really feel.
Absolutely.
I said, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right.
We know.
You do your thing.
And we're going to do ours.
And go on, sit down, and smile. And I said, Lord, I give them to you. Don't let me lose my little religion. Because you know what? It's not worth it. Because I used to get upset and say some things. They don't do anything. I'm upset.
Right.
Sit down, pray about it. Let the Lord answer. Go for a walk. And, you know.
But the fact that you have to deal with that on that microaggression on a daily basis.
You shouldn't have to.
You should not.
You shouldn't have to.
You should not.
No.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If you are looking for more information on what we discussed, take a look at the show notes or go to blackhistoryforwhitepeople.com. If you'd like to play a supportive role in the podcast and be able to vote for future topics, you can support us for $5 a month. Check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/blackhistoryforwhitepeople. On our next episode, we will be discussing mass incarceration. We'll leave you with this quote from Julian Bond. The humanity of all Americans is diminished when any group is denied rights granted to others.